It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thorat and Mary Jo Foley are here. We're going to talk about what looks to be the release candidate of Windows 10, the Creators Update. That should be out any day now. We'll get the dates from Paul and Mary Jo. They also spent some time, and I think this is really interesting, talking about how they get scoops, where the leaks come from, and how they handle them to make sure that they're giving you reliable information. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thorat and Mary Jo Foley, episode 509, recorded Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. Gongs are us. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Carbonite. Keep your business safe this year. Protect it from ransomware and hacker attacks with automatic cloud backup from Carbonite. Try Carbonite free at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Windows to get 2 free bonus months if you decide to buy. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/windows. And by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. See what's on the menu this week and get 3 meals free with your first purchase and free shipping by going to blueapron.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly. Yes, it is. The show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. With Mary Jo Foley of AllAboutMicrosoft.com and Petri Publishing, where she's community manager for something at Petri.com. What's it called? IT Joy Joy?
IT Unity.
Unity. Happy, happy Unity.
IT Unity.
Woo-hoo. IT Unity. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello.
And direct from the heart of Snowpocalypse, Paul Thorat of Thorat.com. So, Mary Jo, I think New York got off light, right?
We did. We only got like 4 or 5 inches of snow.
Yeah. That's a lot, though, for a Manhattan.
It is. It's mostly slush already because we had some sleet and thunder and lightning. And
that stinks. I hate it when it does
all that. Yeah.
Paul, how many feet did you get?
Actually, we got off light, too. We probably got 8 inches or so, but... Bad.
Oh.
Yeah, but I actually personally got 0 inches because my son's home on break and he did all the shoveling.
I saw your picture that said, I am in favor of teenage labor. Child labor. Nice. Yep. That's good for him.
Yeah, it's good for me, too. So that was nice.
Do you still have that fancy snowblower you got last time?
Yeah, and this snow was like really wet and heavy, as was our last storm. And I actually threw my back out using that thing last time. And so I really didn't want to go anywhere near it because I got to travel soon.
Enjoy it while you can, because he ain't going to be long for, you know, he's going to be off to shovel his own walk, as the kids say.
Yep.
But then there's always the girl.
Leo, I guess you may or may not have met my daughter. I can't remember. But let me just say... She's useless.
Not a shoveler, are you saying?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. She's in full-blown teenager mode right now, Leo.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of fun. I remember that. That'll last about 10 years, was my experience.
It feels like it's already been 10 years.
So, Mary Jo, this is fun because usually we're very focused on here's the news, here's the stories. Boom, boom, boom. Here's what happened this week. But Mary Jo has proposed, and I totally like this idea.
Actually, can I explain how this came about?
Yeah, would you?
Mary Jo contacted me this morning, and she said, I don't like the stuff we're going to talk about today. She said, this is boring. Let's talk about
something
else.
We can do better. We will do better.
No, I thought it would be fun because, like Leo, like you just said, a lot of times we go through the news of the week and, you know, talk about all the stories. And there's a lot of news this week, actually. But sometimes it's fun to step back a little and talk more about how we do what we do and how that figures into what people read and what they don't read.
I've always been really interested in people's process. And I think people don't, you know exactly how you guys do your job. You know, plus your job is changed over the years. It's not the same as it used to be.
Very true. Yeah, so when we were watching watching the tweets and listening to him watching Rachel Maddow last night talk about how she was going to disclose
that was so disappointing.
The president's tax report.
In my opinion, she got played. That was an interesting leak.
It was an interesting leak. It made me think about the way things get leaked to us in the tech press.
Do you ever get anything over the transom, as they say?
Yeah, we get stuff over the transom all the time, right?
Yeah, and it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, depending on how you get it.
Right. So, you know, I was thinking, you know, there are a lot of parallels in what just happened with her and how we do our job and what happens to us. And, you know, we're not dealing with things like presidential tax returns, but we get some pretty big leaks in the tech space, too. And one of the things to think about when we get these leaks is kind of like the five reporter questions, the who, what, where, when, and why of people leaking you stuff.
Right.
And I saw a lot of people today tweeting, I bet it was the Trump administration who actually leaked those tax returns. And you know what? This happens to us in our world, too. Sometimes we get plants and leaks that you may suspect or may even know that are from Microsoft, but you can't prove it.
How interesting.
But this happens to all reporters.
Yeah.
And
actually,
then when
you've experienced, Mary Jo, and this is kind of under a previous regime, if you will, also attempts to catch up leakers by providing misinformation to people who work at Microsoft. And then seeing if it pops up anywhere.
Yeah.
Apple was very famous for doing that, but it's the best way, right? You give different different information to different employees and you wait to see which thing surfaces.
Yep. You do. Yep. Even different slides in presentations where they have them numbered so they know which one's got which slides. And if you run a slide or you run a verbatim paragraph from something, they know who told you and who gave it to you.
It's actually a great movie called Allied that just came out with Brad Pitt and Marianne Cotillard. And that is kind of the central piece of it is this false information to detect a spy. They can, they call it, I think, a red dog. They had a name for it. So it goes back a long ways. As long as there's been leaks, I guess, and spies.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the other things I've kind of thought about as time has gone by and I've gotten things leaked to me from various sources is you have to also question the motivation of the leaker, right?
Right.
Like sometimes it's very obvious why they do it. They're mad about something. They got fired. They don't like who their new boss is. They don't like a product. They don't like that a product's being killed. So they'll leak you stuff. But sometimes it's also just, I want to show people that I'm in the know. And they get a kick out of seeing you leak something and they can tell their friends, I leaked that to her.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right? Like, why do people do it? It's very, very interesting.
How do you vet it? I mean, that's one, of course, issue that comes up.
I was just going to go down that bridge. I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
I mean, the one thing we've seen across news in general, but in our industry as well, is a real devolution of quality. And, you know, Mary Jo and I, coming up in the world years ago, had rules around this kind of stuff. You had to have at least two or three sources on independent sources on information.
Yeah, that's what they said during, you know, the Watergate thing in the Washington Post. Yeah. If you don't have two sources, we're not going to run it.
Right. You can watch that wonderful bit of fiction compared to the way things are today on Netflix or whatever. But it's not like that anymore. And you can see this, right? I mean, you can see. You know that someone from Microsoft or someone from somewhere emailed some kid from some blog and they just posted the story. And then it gets regurgitated everywhere because everyone just cuts and pastes. And, you know, I mean, I was young once. I sort of get it. But I have a kind of a problem with that, you know. And I think the one thing I would say to people about this in general is, you know, consider the source, and by the source, I don't mean the ultimate source of information, but the reliability, the quality of the blog or the website or whatever. And also, you know, if you know from, you've been dealing with us for years, I mean, we qualify everything that we're not sure about, right?
Yeah.
And if I were to give a hint to anybody out there who's paying attention to us, and to me in particular, because I don't want to speak for Mary Jo, if I speak definitively about something, there's a reason for it. And it's not because I'm full of, you know, ego and whatever. It's because I know that I've heard this from a qualified source, someone high up at Microsoft perhaps or whatever, right? And so you can look back at, I'll give you a couple of like small little things. I mean, when I've spoken about, actually don't want to say that. Well, let's just say that if I speak definitively about something, there's a reason. And
so give me some of the phrases, the words you guys will use and what they mean. So if, you know, I mean, are there kind of like, I see this in newspapers. There'll be, you know, according to sources familiar with the subject, for instance.
We're not authorized to speak on the topic.
Usually means that that's somebody inside, right? That's either somebody works at Microsoft or somebody works in the government.
Or someone who is a partner of Microsoft that deals with that particular part of the company. For example, if we had some news about Windows 10 or, you know, whatever, that came from a source that wasn't public information. That would come from a person on the Windows team. That would come from possibly a partner of Microsoft who deals with that part of Windows. Maybe they work for a PC maker, someone who would have a reason to have that kind of access. Do you use that term? I mean, I don't really use that term exactly myself.
I mean, spell it out. Unless I'm being sarcastic and making fun, I sometimes do.
Is there a phrase you'll use when it's less strongly sourced?
I'll always qualify it if it's not sure.
Every
once in a while, something will be bombastic enough where you feel like you kind of have to write about it. But you spell it out. You know, look, this is too plausible to not be true, but I want to be clear. This came from one source or this came from someone I very, very, very rarely would ever write an actual post about something based on a source I've never dealt with before.
That's key too.
A lot of times, you know,
We'll bounce stuff off each other.
Yes.
Right?
And there's a network of people who do that. You know, it's very helpful when someone from another publication comes to you and says, "Hey, I just got this source or this bit of information. Have you heard anything about this?" And I do that. Mary Jo is great for this because she has so many contacts. I mean, I'll ask her this all the time, and that helps make things happen because in some cases, you know, I can come to Mary Jo with something, for example, and say, look, I just heard this thing. I don't know. And then she starts asking around and that's what kind of gets it going because, you know, she'll ask the right people and we can figure it out. And that kind of teamwork is important, you know, and it doesn't have to be someone you work with. I mean, it could be a so-called competitor or whatever, but there's a bunch of people who do what we do. And we talk to a lot of those people and it helps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It does. You have to trust the person, obviously, that they're not going to run with your tip, because that's why a lot of reporters don't do it, because they're like, I want to be first. I want to get out there with this. I don't even care if it's right. I just want to have it.
And there's a lot of pressure to do that. I mean, there's pressure to file lots of stories, pressure to get there first.
Yeah.
And it's even more intense in the blogosphere. And at the same time as that pressure has gone up, the pressure to get it right has gone down.
It has. Right.
You get rewarded whether you're right or not.
By the way, there's also, aside from like the subcategory of what I would call BS tech rumors, you know, the BGR story of the hour about the Samsung Galaxy S8 right now, or, you know, the never ending story about the next iPhones that we deal with every year for 11.5 months. there's also a desire to kind of like outdo other people. And I think I'm at the point now, and Mary Jo, again, I don't want to speak for Mary Jo, but like we've been around for a while, right? And so speed is important, but being right is more important. And, when I was a younger guy, I mean, one of the big criticisms I got from someone who does what we do was something along the line of, you know, I'd rather be right than first, to which I replied, I'd rather be both. You know,
and, good answer.
And, you know, so I understand that desire, but I think at this point, look, I can break stories, and Mary Jo certainly breaks stories. I feel like adding perspective to what's happening is more important, because a lot of times when a kid or a younger guy posts about something that they've heard, they have no idea what's going on. They don't know what this relates to. They don't understand where it came from. They don't understand the ties it has, the things that happened in the past. And there's no cure for that except living longer. You know, I mean, you just have to, you know, you just have to be around.
Yeah.
And have
for us on the other end as consumers, it's really you do develop a kind of a sense, I think, over time of who would just say anything to get links more thoughtful, who has better sources. And you also, I think, maybe not consciously, but you learn to read the stories in a way that you kind of understand that this one's a little sketch. Paul's kind of saying this little sketch. Oh no, this one, he sounds pretty certain about this. This must be real. And that is important to develop that trust of your reader so that when you do telegraph those things that they know how to take it. You know, some anonymous blog sounds certain, doesn't convey any information to me at all.
No. Right. You know, like for us right now, if you look on like headlines on Google or Bing right now, every single day you see Surface Phone stories. God,
it's unbelievable. That's been going on for years.
I know. And they're from blogs. You're like, who are these people? Right. Like they're these random
Times of India
crazy,
or, you know, like,
yeah.
And it's Google, you know, Google puts these things on their news site.
That's part of the problem.
So does Microsoft.
Yeah. That's part of the problem.
That's BS. That makes me crazy. And it's like, you know, Surface Phone versus iPhone 8 specs breakdown. Yeah. Which one will win? You know, and it's like, which of the things I've invented in my head is better than the other? But, you know, people are clicking on this stuff. And by the way, this is kind of the central problem. I raised this issue years ago, in fact, but it's gotten past the point of science fiction. Like I never really considered the end game here. But the very simple act of allowing us to configure our news feeds so that we only see news from sources that we agree with and believe, has made us all imbeciles, you know? And this is an area where I am absolutely as much of a problem as anyone else in that I do the same thing. Like the thing I'm complaining about, I can't be confronted all day long by news from sources that I can't stand. And so I know this is why everyone does it. Like we all do the same thing. You know, it's like you watch MSNBC or Fox News, you know, if you want to talk politics, or, you know, Apple versus Microsoft back in there, whatever it is. You know, it's an easy trap to get into, but it has resulted in our current climate.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. You want to filter out the ones you know are constantly telling you wrong things, right? But like here's an example. So one of our viewers today, before the show started, tweeted to me and said, are you guys going to talk about Surface Book 2 and Surface Pro 5 on today's show? And I said, no, because we don't really have any new info beyond what we've already shared. And so then Barry Wallace, another one of our listeners, said, can't you just make something up like the other experts?
He said it
tongue in cheek, but it's like, yeah, that's what people want you to do.
On that note, I'd like to make an announcement. Surface Book 2 will be 17% better than Surface Book 1.
Nice. Sources said.
There is pressure to do that. And it's not just from management or, you know, advertisers. It's from your readers. Your readers want you to also make
it's absolutely about clicks. It's those awful headlines that everyone writes. And when I was talking to Mary Jo about this earlier, I compared it to the coverage of snowstorms. You know, I live in an area of the country that gets buried under snow every winter. So we're supposedly old hands at this. Like, we get it, you know. And yet, the local weather here has turned into this storm of the week, of the minute, of the second. Like, when a storm like this past storm is coming, the news stations stay on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, well, whatever number of days, to the tune where when it goes to commercial, the weather goes down to the corner in a pitcher-in-pitcher thing. They overhype these storms every single time.
Don't miss a minute of weather.
And and building up to the storm, they were talking, it kept going up, you know, 6 to 8 inches, 8 to 16 inches, 1 foot to 22 inches. Like, it kept going up and up. And I said to my wife, you know, this thing's going to be less than half a foot of snow. It's going to rain. And then I'm going to stop watching the news. Because but the most amazing part about this is when it's over, I went back to the news. And then the guy who lied to us gets up and explains that this was exactly what he forecast, just so you understand. And then he went through the whole thing as if this was what he had said was going to happen.
Wow.
this is not what you said was going to happen. But this is like the world now. Like we just lied to, and we just like, it makes me a little crazy.
Well, you guys are old-fashioned, but so am I. So,
yep. I know.
I kind of agree with you, and so we'll in Twit will stay old-fashioned, you know, and that's just the way it is. And I think we all agree that's the way we're going to do it, regardless, right? It's just I couldn't do it any other way. You couldn't do it any other way. Yeah,
I mean, every day I go through the Google News feeds and everything, and the things that I see in there make me like sad.
It is sad because, for instance, Apple News is an example. Apple has this product; they put a lot of energy into it, they really, pushed it. But after you get past the first few inches, the quality—it's like a garbage dump. Where the top part's the good stuff, but then you go deeper and deeper and deeper, and it's worse and worse and worse. Pretty soon, it's blog posts. With nonsensical facts written by somebody who's not an English speaker. They're not even grammatically. It's like, why am I reading this? Who would link to this?
This is an actual headline. It's from a site called Droid Report, which is, I assume is awesome. It says, Microsoft Surface Pro 5 latest release news and specs coming in April with greatest update and AMD Ryzen. Maybe. Yes. At least it's not a Surface. At least it's not a Surface phone. I don't know.
I feel like I have
Surface
to read
phone,
those.
Police state.
And I wish I didn't. I have to check.
Surface phone is going to – this is the Christian Post. These guys are in here all the time because Christians are huge in tech. Microsoft Surface phone release date, specs and news.
Yeah, this is clearly from Malta or, Macedonia or – it's clearly somebody just putting some Google ads on a page.
Surface phone suffers huge delay, caps.
Delay of what?
I've seen that one a lot. Yep.
This is the same site, by the way. Microsoft. I'm sorry. I thought that was Surface One. That's fine. It's like if you have no idea what you're talking about. Microsoft Surface has a new rival, but it's not who you think it is. Is it the Google Jamboard? Because if it is, it is who I think it is. it is.
Well, okay. But maybe you're just a little bit smarter than the average bear. Nothing wrong with Malta, by the way, or Macedonia. Love them. Love the people. Love the countries.
Right.
But they have a very entrepreneurial class of young people.
Yeah. Is that what we're calling this?
Yes, it's news entrepreneurs.
Yeah. And Microsoft then it's tough because people get twisted too. Like they're like, why aren't you writing about this? I saw that the specs are out there and you're just ignoring it. It's like, well, there's a reason we're not writing about it because there are no specs, and that's why.
Right. Yep. And I think when we're in a climate of a lot of BS, it becomes even more important for people to kind of assert some standard of quality. I think some people say, "Oh, well, in that case, I don't care because nobody cares." But I feel like it becomes more important that there be some sources that you can say, "Well, these are reliable, credible." Journalistic enterprises, and I'm going to trust it when they say that. That becomes more important, I hope.
It does.
I think it does,
I do too. Yeah, because people will know, although this also is kind of a weird double-edged sword. Like, I feel like if I don't write about something that's out there and being circulated, it should signal to my readers that it's because it's not real. Right. But
I feel the same way. But
maybe that's too subtle, right? Because then people will say, oh, you didn't write about it. I guess you don't have someone who knows about it, but everyone else has someone who knows about it. It's like, you can't win.
you just want to repeatedly slam your head into a wall sometimes,
Yeah.
The other half of this, in a way, is Microsoft, right? Or just because we cover Microsoft primarily. I mean, I've had conversations with various people from this company many, many times where I've kind of preached transparency that, just saying something sometimes can really clear the air, a lot of times they have a way of letting things fester out in the world. And obviously they have their own schedules and their own desires to surprise people with new product launches and whatever, but, they could really help themselves and the broader industry by being even more transparent, I think, than they are right now. We have requests into Microsoft, both of us, that have never been responded to, which is amazing, right? I mean, it seems like the role of the PR company should be to, I don't know, do that.
Yeah. I agree, but I also think it's a slippery slope, right? If they start denying everything, it could be their whole job. Like, that could turn into their entire, you know, 40-hour week is just issuing denials of, to fake news, right? So I don't know what the answer is.
That's
there.
That's a good point.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Well, thank you for doing a good job, you guys, and for
We didn't really want to make it like that. Like, we're doing a great job.
No,
and everyone's an incident like last night with the tax returns, it makes people both distrust even major news networks because they're like, oh, they were just hyping it to get ratings.
I feel like they made a big, Rachel Maddow made a big mistake, frankly.
This is the thing everyone wanted, right? So in other words, if someone got an actual Surface Phone leak right now, it would be inconceivable for almost anyone not to, like, you know, gurgitate it out onto the web immediately because it'd be so exciting. And, you know, we've all kind of been anticipating, will this thing happen? If it does, what is it going to be? And, you know, in the political world, this is that kind of a topic, right?
Absolutely. But that's
that's why I think you have to be very careful in hyping your story to the appropriate amount, right?
Yes.
Sure.
If I had a product plan from Microsoft from 2005, not a tax return, but say a product plan for something that may or may not ever show up, I think I would be pretty careful to make sure to qualify it and say, by the way, this is from 2005. It's like more than a decade old. So make of it what you will. You know, there's still some value in it for sure. Just like I think there's value in that tax return also, but you shouldn't make it like, you know, come out with the first headline saying, we've got the tax returns. Like, for us, that would be like, I've got the entire Microsoft playbook. Yeah. Here it is.
I think there's a little bit of culpability because of Twitter, to be honest with you.
It is.
Has now got this, you know, you got to do this fast, buzz. You get 140 characters. And I suspect what happened is that her management said, this is huge. This is going to be a ratings builder. You got to tweet this out. Because I noticed her tweets backed it off a little bit.
Yeah.
before, but it was too late by then, right?
They couldn't have brought out Geraldo Rivera for this
It was Al Capone's fault. It really was. Yeah. In fact, if Geraldo did tweet about this, he said this was Rachel Maddow's Al Capone's vault moment.
But he should have wrote, he should have tweeted, been there and done that.
Been there, done that. Yeah, that would have been enough. Everybody would have known. We've talked before about where you get your sources, but do you actively cultivate these leaks or do they just happen?
So I never go to somebody and say, hey, I know you're under NDA. Will you break your NDA? I never do that.
Hey, what's the news? Do you have any anecdotes, any poems, any tips?
But if somebody starts hinting they know something, I'll be like, is there any part of that you can share that you feel like you can share?
I like that. Yeah.
And that's sometimes they'll be like, sure, here's the NDA presentation, blah. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've both got incredible dumps of information sometimes. Yeah. In my case, it's mostly, it mostly comes from the source. Like, it's not something I've asked. I've very rarely gone to, like, even long term sources and said, hey, I've been seeing a lot of stuff about this thing. What do you think? You know, but like I said earlier, you know, we have this kind of network of people that work together, and you know, Mary Jo is and Brad are obviously kind of core to this for me. But it's great being able to throw things off other people who do have other sources and can help corroborate those things. And so, even though, well, you know, it depends on where I get some information. I mean, if I get something from someone at Microsoft who I trust very much, it's not so much that I need that corroboration. But sometimes it helps really fill it out. And in both of us to each other, we'll say, oh, this is the thing from before. And, reminding the other person of something that we had forgotten about. And it just really helps, you know. And you don't get that vibe from a lot of the blogs, you know, that it's just like a, you know, some guy on Twitter said something. Here's a blog post about it. And it's literally like a 67-word, you know, a letter, tweet about nothing. Yeah.
Although every once in a while you get the mother load, right? I remember it was like about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe a little longer. One day on Facebook, somebody DM'd me this thing from Microsoft. And I was just like, wait, is this what I think it is?
Oops.
And I didn't even know this person. And I'm like,
right.
I think this is like a confidential business plan for something that hasn't been announced. And I took it around to a couple of my sources. They're like, where'd you get that? And I'm like, it's real, right? Yep, it's real. And I'm like, whoa, you know? And it was like, okay, that was awesome. And I don't know why still that person gave it to me. I still don't know. So every once in a while, it's like, here it is. I'm putting the tax form in your mailbox.
You get the I mean, the couple I can think of off the top of my head, I got the second gen Surface stuff. I got all of that. That drove Panos Panay crazy. Yeah. We had an interesting private conversation about that. My Windows Phone 8, or Apollo, whatever version that was, 8 or 8.1, I think it was 8. Mm-hmm. All of their marketing plans, like how they were going to make this thing a success. I got all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, whatever the last version of Office that Steven Sinofsky worked on, I got that the mother load of that stuff. And I published a bunch of it, kind of like future of Office stuff. And actually, the first time I met that guy, he literally did like a dressing down of me that was unbelievable, where I walked up to introduce myself to him while he was talking to somebody else. And he literally paused and kind of looked me up and down. And then he just went back and continued to talk to the person he was talking to as kind of a, you know, go F yourself, buddy, kind of thing. But yeah. You know, I mean, it happens. Like, it does happen. But I've never sought it. You know, like, I've never ever gone to anyone.
It's, you've never tried to get somebody to give it to you. No. Yeah.
No. And you would always run a leak by Microsoft in this case. You'd always run it by that company, right?
At
you always
the
say,
last,
do you have a comment?
I do. I do that at the end.
Paul doesn't, apparently.
No, I don't. And I, you know what? It's funny. A big part of the way I am and what I do is tied to the fact that for a very long time I did it by myself.
Right.
And I don't go to Microsoft for a lot of help. I know a lot of journalists probably ping them all the time with questions. I don't actually do that. This past year, I've actually been trying to do more of that kind of thing, which is how I noticed they never actually get back to you. So maybe I was on the right path to begin with. I don't know.
You get your no comment or company didn't comment.
Well, actually, so there was a time, the company had still not returned my phone call.
Yeah, I don't want to say who this was, but it was funny. there was a time last year where I'd written several kind of inflammatory editorials where I kind of tore Microsoft apart over various topics. Surface Gate was one of them, Upgrade Gate. I don't remember the exact sequence, right? And I hadn't noticed this, but on a Friday afternoon, I got the phone rang and I looked down and it says Microsoft Corp. And I'm like, ew. You know, so you pick it up and I'm not going to say who it was, but he says, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, good. And he goes, just call it. You know, I'm like, what's up? And he says, nothing. I just curious what you got planned for today. And I'm like, what are you talking
That's
about?
That's an interesting call to get. Wow.
And he says, well, you know, it's Friday. And I said, yep. He goes, lately you've been dropping an atomic bomb on us every Friday. So I was just curious what you were going to do to us today.
Wow.
And I was like, wow.
They're paying attention.
I didn't think of it that way. And I certainly didn't plan it that way. And I was like, right. Okay. No, I don't think I have anything today. But thanks for putting the idea in my head.
Should I be looking? Perhaps I should be looking.
Yeah. You do get like, you know, I will say, you know, being in whatever position we're in, I mean, to be critical of Microsoft in this case, you do get that also that kind of hurt vibe sometimes. For I do, you know, for people, you kind of forget there are human beings on the other side of this stuff, right? So there's well, there are people who made this thing, and you just crap all over it.
I forget that all the time.
I don't know
how much we're supposed to pay attention to that. You know, it's
because
there's people who buy that thing too, and they have some.
And by the way,
standing as well,
and they have some part of their psyche rolled up in the fact that they thought enough to pay money for this thing that you were now dumping on. I don't honestly think of that stuff too much, although I'm starting, you know, I've certainly noticed it. I've always worked on the theory that, in other words, I've not said Bob Smith from Microsoft or whoever is an idiot. You know, what I've written is this product is terrible and here's why. You know?
Yeah, don't make an ad hominem. That's for sure. Yeah.
No. I've never meant any. I've never meant most things personally. But I don't want to be. You know, again, you got to be.
Let me think about that.
I want to be as honest as possible. I don't know if I ever told the story. I'm not going to tell it in great length. But years and years ago, I made fun of the Windows XP user interface, and I called it a a sea of blues and greens. Mm-hmm. And there was a really good friend of mine from Microsoft at the time who worked on that product. And he, at the time, sent me an email, and he was very disgruntled by this comment I had made. And then I didn't hear from him again for 8 years or 10 years. Or some a huge amount of time.
He took it really personally.
Yeah. And so I ran into him at a Microsoft event, and it was a press meeting. And I saw his name on the list, and he's in a completely different part of Microsoft. I thought, wow, I've seen this guy in years. We used to be really good friends. We literally used to go out and hang out and do stuff. And and so I sat across from him, and I said, listen, before we start, I just want to say to you, I understand that I had made this comment about Windows XP many years ago and that it hurt your feelings personally. And I want you to know I'm very sorry, and I certainly did not mean that personally. And it never occurred to me that anyone would ever take that to be a judgment about them. And I did not intend it that way, and I'm so sorry. And he actually said, he's like, I can't tell you how important that is to me. Thank you for saying that. It really did bother me. And it was a really nice moment. But it took like 8 or 10 years. I don't remember the exact
time. Isn't that amazing?
It might have been even longer than that.
You do forget. This is somebody's life work. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And you don't. Do you guys?
But we have a higher responsibility. I mean, we don't have responsibility to that guy or that company. That's one of the things that is challenging, especially for you guys, because you know people at the company. It's one of the reasons I don't talk to PR people and I don't talk to companies. I hate to be mean, and it's a lot harder to be hard, you know. But at the same time, we have a responsibility to the people who buy this stuff and use this stuff to tell them the truth. I'm glad I don't know people at these companies, because I would be hard for me.
Not usually mean on purpose in the sense that I mean to hurt somebody. But you could understand that speaking plainly about something can come off as gruff
you have a kind of a sarcastic way about you that some people might take personally. You know, I mean,
I don't mean to be mean, but I do kind of understand how that can have the impact, you know, and that's never, I shouldn't say never, it's almost never the intent. No, I mean, obviously sometimes, like, I'm a human, I get mad at people, but, you know, but you have these moments in life where you kind of realize this is happening, and it's not the goal, right? It's not the point.
No. I don't know. I was going to tell the story. I don't think I've ever told you guys a story on the show, but back when Microsoft released Windows 2000, right when it came out, Mark Lukowski, who was running the team at that time, sent out like this motivational memo to his team. And he said, okay, it's RTM'd, it's going out. But remember, there's still 63,000 bugs left in this product, and we got to swat them all.
Yow.
And so I got the memo, and I went to Microsoft, and I said,
I remember this story.
So I'm like, you guys, there's this memo and it says 63,000 bugs are left in NT and you're shipping it. And they're like, yeah, well, you know, that was like a motivational memo. I'm like, yeah, but you said it and here it is. I've got it. So I wrote the story and I tried to put it in context. I said, you know, this was meant to be a motivational memo, blah. And so I had to get on a plane and I was going to a Microsoft show, right? I remember getting off the plane in San Diego and I looked up at the TV monitor in the airport and there was a huge headline that said 63,000 bugs left in Windows NT. Yep. And I just stood there for a second. I was like, Oh boy.
I'm dead. And now you're waiting for that red laser light to appear in your forehead.
I vividly remember that story.
And so I went to the show and Mark Lukowski was there. And he came up to me and he goes, hi, we've never met. My name is Mark Lukowski. I'm like, oh. And he goes, but obviously you know me since you're reading my email somehow.
That's awesome.
I was like, yeah, hi. Hi
there. By the way, Mark Lukowski, you know, key member of the original NT team, came over from Digital and left because of Mary Jo, he went to Google.
What? Really? Well, no. He owes you then.
He did eventually go to Google. Yeah.
Then he left there, I think. But
he's gone from Google. Yeah.
You know, it was a call that I felt like I had the right to write the story. I knew they were not going to be happy. I didn't know I was going to run into Mark Lukowski at the time.
reminded me because of this thing where you go to Microsoft and ask for a comment. One of the, Mary knows this, but one of the latest strategies from the crack PR team at Microsoft. So yeah, I've just insulted them. I'm mean. Is to come back with, I know, jerk. is to come back with, do you have a particular deadline for the story? Yeah, the deadline is 1 second ago because I write for the web and it has to happen immediately. I'm not asking for some time in the future. I need to know the answer to the question.
Snark is here.
Well, are we looking for a holding pattern here or something? Yeah. No, I need to know. That's why I ask, you know.
Right now.
Yeah.
Tell me.
I'll wait while you ask.
Here's a good question on Twitter from someone who's listening to us, ITGuy777. How do you deal with leaked information that was not supposed to be released? Has anyone ever approached you in that regard?
What does that mean?
All of it was not supposed. I mean, that's the definition.
Right.
You know what? Sometimes I've had this happen. I've had a guy give me a presentation and I look at it and I'm like, do you know it says NDA on this, like on every page of this? Do you see that? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, it's not NDA anymore. And I'm like, I think it still is. No, I'm positive it's not. Okay, so I've never seen it before, but sure. And I won't let you run it unless you use my name as having given it to you. So I was like, okay, I'll do this. You're going to get in huge trouble. I'm just telling you. And so I ran it. And he got in huge trouble. But I'm like, I tried to warn the guy and warn him off. I'm like,
Do you think sometimes you're being used?
Yeah,
well,
for
that's
sure.
The thing. Yeah, absolutely. So it could be some internal faction thing. It could be that thing I was talking about earlier. Though I don't know that I've witnessed this in a long time. But again, during a previous regime, we would experience that notion where they would using us to find leakers, you know, to see who would. Which version of the story would come out, and then they would have a rough idea of who had leaked it. Not personally in a while.
Instance, maybe that guy wanted to get fired. I mean, obviously nobody wants to get fired, but maybe, in other words, sometimes.
Yeah. It's a little grenade in the rum on the way out the door.
Yeah, you'd have a nose for why this is happening or.
Yeah.
This person has an agenda. Maybe he wants to get his boss in trouble, that kind of thing. Would that stop you?
Well,
no.
Yeah. I also am saying no. I'm sorry. I was just acknowledging it as a thing. Like sometimes you have to go back to them and say, hey, look, whatever. Even sometimes, let me give you, I was going to not name names, but here's one where I can name names. I talked to Ryan Gavin in January about Cortana, and he's talking. He's a great guy. He used to work on the IE team. I've been dealing with this guy for probably 15 years or more. He's great. I love talking to him. We always have a good time. He's talking. And then in the middle of this conversation, he says that they're consolidating their task apps and they're going to get rid of Wunderlist and they're going to call it Microsoft Tasks. But he didn't say it. Like he didn't stop and say it like I just said it. He just kind of. As part of the thing, oh, by the way, as you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he went on and on and on. And I'm like, I kind of highlighted it as I wrote it down. I've never heard that before. And so after the meeting, I asked, I said, listen, you kind of just blurted this out. I said, are you sure this is public? I've never heard of this. He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. He goes, and then the PR person said, I'll look it up to make sure. And so she got back to me and she said, no, we announced it back in December and it's fine. And I threw it by you, Mary Jo, and I think I mentioned
it.
I'm
like, that's not public.
Nope. And we looked it up, and no, they had never said that.
You tried. You did your best.
Yeah. You know, and that happens from time to time. You come out of a meeting, you're at a show, if it's in person, working on the computer, walk over to the PR people and say, hey, he or she or whoever you talk to said, could you just, I just want to make sure this, are you sure about this? And sometimes they'll come back and say, you know, thank you, actually, for mentioning that we really don't want that to be made public at this time because they're talking about secret things. They don't, to them, this is just things, you know, they have a hard time differentiating sometimes between something that they're, you know, it's very common to them that the outside world's never heard. Whereas someone like Mary Jo or I or anyone else would hear this thing for the first time and your ears would kind of prick up and say, whoa, what was that? You missed the next 5 seconds because your mind is racing. You know, is this a thing? Have they ever said this before?
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you for this. I kind of enjoy
non-news items.
Non-news items. We do have news items. There's lots to talk about, including Windows 10. We're getting close. Somebody was asking me, when is the holographic edition? or I'm sorry, the creator's update coming out. And we think...
Yeah. When will then be now, Leo? Soon.
Soon. Then will be now soon. We'll have those details in just a little bit. We talked yesterday about Advertising Gate on Security Now, and I think we have an update, perhaps, from Paul Thurrott. Anyway, we'll get to all of that in just a bit. But first, a word from our fine sponsor, Carbonite Online Backup. Carbonite, for a lot of people, is the first cloud service they ever experienced. And backup is kind of the perfect place to try the cloud for the first time. Because when you're backing up to the cloud, you're doing a couple of very important things. Most importantly, you're getting your data off-site. That means if there's a fire, if there's a flood, if there's a tornado, if there's a disaster, your stuff is still safe because it's in the cloud. And I think sometimes people, well, is it safe in the cloud? Is it secure? And I want to let you know the Carbonite Network Operations Center is amazing. Not just the security, but the fault, you know, fail over power, redundant power, the everything they're doing up there. And of course, your data is there fully encrypted in place. So it's completely safe. If you're in business and you're not backing up to the cloud, this is such an easy way to do it. I know there are a lot of other solutions. There's, you know, your IT guy will tell you a 15-step process you can use. When you're talking about backing up the most important thing in your life, your customer records, your supplier list, your accounts receivable, simple is good. Straightforward is good. Carbonite is good. I want you to try it for home or for office. Right now, if you go to carbonite.com, you can try it completely free. You don't need a credit card. They can't bill you because they don't have your credit card. But I do want you to use our offer code Windows when you do that. And the only reason I say type in Windows is that way you're going to make sure Paul and Mary Jo get credit and you're going to get 2 months free if you decide to buy. For Mac, for PC, for home, for office, this is the kind of cloud you want. The best secure cloud to store your data, the safest place, and the easiest, simplest solution. Carbonite.com. Don't forget to use the offer code Windows. That way you'll get 2 months free with purchase. Windows Weekly, Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. I know we can't use RTM. Can we use RC?
We can use whatever we want. We're taking it over.
All right. Let's do it.
Yep.
So Windows 10, are we ready? Are we getting there?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're at the stage now where this or something that is almost exactly like this is going to be the final product.
The last update. When did the last Insider update come out?
Last night.
It's pretty fresh. Okay.
Wait, when was it? It was last night.
No. Oh, yeah, it was.
So that would be the release candidate, you think?
I mean, obviously, they're not describing it this way. They hate to use those terms. Although, as I mentioned, I don't know, last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever this was, when Visual Studio was coming out, those guys use the terms RC and RTM all the time, and I love that. Because, you know, the developers at the company of developers are using the proper term.
Of course they're calling it that.
They don't suffer from the whole marketing problem.
Why does Microsoft not want to call it RC or RTM? Is that too final? Is that too...
Because Windows is a service.
Yeah.
Got it. So it's never done.
It's never done. Yeah, Windows is never done.
Always being improved.
Right.
It's evergreen. It's perfect today, but it is going to get better. And that is the central paradox of Windows.
Now, nobody is yet getting the creator's update now, right? I mean, nobody's announced, oh, hey, I just got something. No.
No. It's not public. Although the cumulative updates that went out yesterday included a change to the Windows Update app.
The Patch Windows Tuesday update
page.
Oh.
Yeah. If you go to Windows Update and in settings, it now says, this is new. Good news. The Windows 10 Creators Update is on its way. Do you want to be one of the first to get it?
Okay.
Only someone who has never experienced a Windows 10 upgrade would ever say yes to this, but there is a thing you can click to go learn more. It doesn't do anything today, but eventually what's going to happen is if you say yes, we're going to go through that notification things, you know, again, like it will download in the background, you'll get the notification and you'll be able to get it. But we're still some weeks away from that.
Some weeks, you think?
I mean, early April. I haven't heard recently, but the last I heard was the first week of April. you know, finalize the code in March, first week of April for the beginning of the release, because remember they stage it out. And I don't think that you've heard the same, obviously. So,
but you're
look at us corroborating sources.
I know. I mean, they've been calling it 1703 since last year in documents and on the web.
That means
they've
called it 1703 March 2017. So.
Right.
Yeah.
That
RTM,
means
right.
That's
so
the RTM, right?
The current version is 1607. Yeah. 1607. What does that sound right? Yeah. 1607.
Yes.
Yes, right. I'm sorry.
That's the anniversary.
That's July of last year. That's when anniversary
basic numbers
came out.
Escaped.
But it really did come out in July. It came out in August, right? It was
that's
like,
right.
Yeah.
So they
this
do
is
going to
be
their,
the same.
Okay.
Right.
But like really early August, like
you introduce single digit numbers into my head and I literally can't talk.
But it's really important to point out, because people have so little memory, that the anniversary update, you really didn't want to be the first person to get that last year.
Well, yeah, that's true. But we didn't know that on day one. In fact, if you were to go back to the whatever podcast that we recorded the very first week of August, I guarantee you that one of us said something, or we both said,
"Go get it.
It seems like this is going really well." Yeah. You know, it's like what the captain of the Titanic said as he was breaking the champagne open on night one. You know, like everything's going great. Because it really did seem that way. Like I did not get a lot of reports from people early on that there were problems. The problem is that not a lot of people had it, and there were lots of problems. And we, you know, this became more obvious over the course of August.
So what would be your advice? You can't control when you're going to get it, can you?
Yes, you can. And that is my advice. I think a lot of the people who listen to this podcast are technical enough that I don't have to tell them how to live their lives when it comes to updating Windows. But I would say to normal people, as long as you're running the pro version of Windows or better, you can defer updates for up to 4 weeks. And you should do so in this case, because given what happened last time, there's no rush. You know, it's not like Windows changes dramatically and it's an all new Windows and everything's different and better and whatever. I mean, in many ways, it's a big update in the scope of feature updates. But it's you can wait and let the world be your guinea pig instead of doing it yourself. If you're running a home version of Windows, you have to use a workaround to do this. There's a couple things you can do, but the simplest is starting whatever day that this thing is coming out. Don't do it now. Set up your internet connection to be a metered connection. And that will prevent all updates from coming to your computer. Now, that includes security updates, I know. But I think for 1 month or maybe 2 months, that's not actually going to be a huge problem. And the goal is to not download that 3 gigabyte monstrosity until you know that it's okay. Right? And you know, if a month goes by, because we'll write about this, you know, we're going to keep you can be guaranteed that, you know, based on what happened last time, this is something people are going to be paying attention to. So if this rollout goes better than expected, and you never know, we'll write about it. Other people will write about it. And after that 30-day period expires, maybe then you can kind of turn it off the meter and just get it naturally whenever it comes. You know, the most technical people are going to download the ISO on day one or whatever and just get it. You know, they're going to bypass all of the checks that Microsoft has in place to make sure that only those computers that are known good will get it first, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, for normal people, for my mother, for my wife, for just people who just, you're going to want to defer this one.
So that's good. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people, I remember when anniversary update came out, people were rushing to get it, right? Like people are going, grabbing it, proactively downloading it, even normals like me, you know, and then it turned out, oh, wait, Microsoft's actually throttling this and only delivering it to PCs that they know it works on. So you're better off waiting if you can wait. And I don't see why people can't. Wait until it comes to you. I mean, don't go get it unless, you know, like you're a technical person, you're fully aware of what you're doing. But if you're a normal like me, I'm not going to be rushing out on day one to get Creators Update.
There's no reason to do that.
But there is a reason to defer, you think?
Well, yeah, because again, last time unexpected problems arose in a variety of areas.
Yeah.
Caused all kinds of problems. I mean, there's no reason, like I said, don't be a guinea pig. I mean,
right. Okay.
But
you have to take steps to defer. As you said, you have to say, I am on a metered connection.
Well, if you have Pro or Enterprise, you can just defer. There's a checkbox. Right. And that will do it for up to 4 weeks. And again, same thing. After some period of time when you feel that this thing is safe, you uncheck that option, and then you check for updates. You probably get it right away. Home doesn't have this thing. This is another issue. I don't want to get off on a little rant here, but what the hell? I have a gong, by the way.
If we need it.
Right.
I have a gong sound ready.
Mary Jo and I decided that we could really bring the show up a notch if she had a gong behind her, like on the gong show. And if I just went off the rails a little too much, she could just hit the gong. And then
I'd have to be quiet.
I think you'll agree. No, but you agree with this one, right? Are you making the sound?
You could just signal me and I could do a gong. Oh, nice. It's kind of distant. Yeah.
If I make the gong, Leo, you can do it.
It's
going to
be like a boom. Like Chuck Berry. Was it Chuck Berry?
No, you want, yeah, that's, but that's, you want an Arthur Rank gong. You want a gong that sounds like a big.
Go right ahead.
Here we go. Like that.
And then my microphone just gets cut off immediately.
But
Mary Jo agrees with me on this one. It is very rather strange. Every time Microsoft talks about deferring updates, they kind of conveniently leave out Home. They'll say Windows 10 Pro and Enterprise can just check this box and they can defer updates for up to 4 weeks, 4 months or whatever.
I'm sorry, that slipped. That was a gong slip.
It sounded like a bomb.
That was a gong slip.
Listen, some people get bonged early. That's what happens. You have to respect the gong. Anyway, I do find it odd that Home users can't turn us off. Home users are the ones who need it the most.
Right.
I mean,
can I ask you something on that?
Yeah.
And when Microsoft recently did a post saying they were going to be more transparent and give people more control at a granular level over their settings, I asked them, is this going to be the case in every edition of Windows 10? And they said, yes.
You came to me and you said, Paul, because as demonstrated earlier, we discussed these things. Yeah. Microsoft told me this. Is this true? And I said, I don't think so, but I will spin up a Creators Edition Home VM and find out. And the answer is no, that is not true. In the Creators Update 2, you cannot defer updates in Windows 10 Home. So, okay, but that doesn't help. It almost doesn't matter, though, because you have to get the Creators Update before that would change if they were going to change it. The point here is to defer the downloading. What they did do, remember, in Windows 10 Home Pro, rather, is they don't call it defer anymore. That's what the option says today in Windows 10. Now they're calling it delay, so there's a huge language change there. but those options are still not present in Home as of that day you asked. So whatever week or whatever day, it might have been 2 weeks ago in whatever build, it was exactly like it is today. There's one option missing, and that option today says defer, and in Creators Update, I think it says delay or something.
You're right.
It's basically
Right, because I'm thinking about it now. So if you have anniversary update, you would have to have a defer in that, right?
You have to have this before. That's the point. The bandwidth savings stuff that's coming in the Creators update isn't going to help anyone until after they have the Creators update, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get that until you have the Creators update. So the big benefit of that will be when the 17.0 or 17.11 or whatever they call it comes out.
Right. Redstone 3, you mean, right?
Yep.
A huge number of people in the chat room want me to gong you. I don't know. Maybe they just... I keep getting links to gongs.
No, they enjoy the idea of someone shutting me up.
No.
No, it's okay.
I just knew a couple of our items today might kind of make Paul rant, so I wanted to have a mechanism to kind of...
That's what she said. She said, I don't feel like... I don't feel like there's a lot going on. And I said, I see at least four entry points for me to rant in here. I don't know what your problem is.
I need
all kinds of stuff.
Let's just see. Let me see if this is a suitable gong. Oh, man, I guess not.
It's like one of those little bell things. Ding.
It must be using Flash or some prohibited plugin. Yep, plugin blocked. Plug-in blocked. Oh, it uses Flash. Never mind.
I need a real gong,
That's what I'm saying. You need like a Van Halen gong behind you that you have like a giant added mallet thing that you hit it with.
I know you got plenty of room in that apartment. Why don't you just pick one of those up?
Well, once I move, I'll have room for a gun.
Are you moving?
Yeah.
I'm going to be moving in a month or so.
Maybe this could be like a housewarming present.
What? Tell us all about that.
So I think I told you, Leo, did I? I bought an apartment in New York.
No.
Yes.
No, she did.
So I guess you're going to stay.
I'm staying here for the duration. And I'm going to be moving not too far from where I live now.
Is it a good building? Do you have a super? Do you have a doorman?
Yep. No doorman. I have a good super. And it should be a lot quieter than this apartment.
And they're not constantly renovating the neighbors.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So that should be good. And so it's going to happen. Yeah.
I got to say this because I don't want anyone else to do it. So I'm going to ruin the surprise, but I am absolutely buying you a gun.
Don't make it too big. I mean, I'm not moving into a palace.
No, I'm not. It's not going to, you won't have to stand up to use it.
The Nubian slave only stays for the first month. He'll leave afterwards. Do you think you'll have enough room for a television and an Xbox, Mary Jo? More to the point.
So this apartment is going to be delivered to me with a TV. So I'm going to have.
That was a selling point. It comes with its own TV.
Can I also ask another pertinent question about this apartment?
Please.
Do you prefer a black or a cherry finish?
On the gongs.
Just looking at gongs.
I think black would do a nice.
Did you go to Gongs or Us, Paul? The gong store. I bet you in New York. There's got to be a gong store in New York.
Oh, man. There are stores in New York called Just Bulbs and Just Shades, where they only sell light bulbs and they only sell shades. I'm not making this up.
Go to Just Gongs. I like it. Just Gongs. That's all we got. Hey, it's Joey Crimzizzo for Just Gongs. Come on down. We got gongs.
No, we have gongs.
No gongs. What does it no say? Cymbals. No drums. Just gongs.
I'm looking for those. Do not send me cymbals.
Like, it's called Gotham Gongs.
Those strings of metal that make different. No, we have gongs. Yep.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, you're getting a gong.
You're getting a gong. All right.
I don't think I've ever purchased anything in the process of making this podcast before, but
Leo has. He bought a Surface Studio.
I will. Yeah, that's true. This show is very expensive for me.
So sometime in the next month plus, this will be a different background behind me.
Nice. Good. Right. Congratulations. That's great.
Yeah, thanks.
Mary Jo's getting an apartment, so we're going to have to send her. Yeah. I guess Lisa already knew about it.
Yeah, she wrote me a nice recommendation.
Oh. Yes, she got it. So, yes, this woman is gainfully employed. And she will never leak anything to Microsoft.
No, I will never.
Never. Well, let us know when you move so we can send you a housewarming gift. Of a gong.
Don't you dare.
And I'll have gongs all over the house.
Gongs all around the house. God, if there's ever an earthquake, your place is going to sound like a cacophony.
How do you feel about cuckoo clocks?
No. My neighbor will kill me.
Yeah. Cuckoo. It's the first thing I do when I go on a road trip. The first thing Lisa does, disables the cuckoo clock. Every time I come back, the cuckoo clock has been stopped.
I grew up with a cuckoo clock, and this was an ongoing issue between the children and the parents. Because the parents liked the cuckoo clock, and everyone else hated the cuckoo clock.
Yeah, I'm the one that likes it.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody's suggesting, I think, Paul, you and I can go on in the Xbox One Call of Duty edition and send that to Mary Jo for a housewarming gift.
Well, I tried to sell her on, there's a new map for Call of Duty that has like beer. It's like a beer motif. It was for St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, wow.
So I've been sending her screenshots thinking, maybe this would put it over the top for her. But
I see a note here. I don't know if you want to do it. Can WAS ever really work? Is it WAS or WAS?
Yep.
We kind of did it.
We kind of circumvented this in a way.
All right. Let's move on then to advertising.
There you go.
So get the gong ready on this.
Well, I mean, I might rant.
Mary
Jo
is going to have a neighbor who 6 to 9 months from now is going to meet her in the hallway someday and say, this is weird, but every Tuesday afternoon between about 2 and 4, I swear to God, I hear a gun coming from your apartment like 4 or 5 times. And she's going to have to pretend that she has no idea what he's talking about.
I don't know what that is. Do you hear it any other time of the week? No.
Nope, just Tuesday.
Nope, just then.
Yep. Maybe sometimes when I'm on Twitter, she'll be doing it just for herself.
She's gonging Twitter.
Why does he stop? I'm gonging him.
Get it on. Bang a gong. All right, we're going to give Paul a chance to rant about advertising in Windows 10. Steve Gibson was asking about that yesterday. And I just said, well, they are giving it away. Is this how they're supporting it?
But they're not giving it away, actually. Right? Everyone pays for Windows. Even when Windows 10 was free.
Oh, we all
pay. You weren't getting Windows free. You were getting an upgrade for free. Right. You already had Windows.
Right.
I mean, so you always paid for it. And so rather than rant about the problem of advertising in Windows and how awful it's gotten and how it's only going to get worse over time and has, I think the thing I'm kind of moving forward to, because it looks like everyone has finally come on board. You know, back in 2012, when I first complained about this, I was told by at least one person that this wasn't an issue and blah, blah, blah. What's your problem? And, well, surprise, it's gotten worse. And so everyone seems to be on board. That Office 365 ad, I think we talked about it last week, has put everyone over the top. Okay, so there's advertising in Windows. We can all agree to that. Now, I'm curious about the why of it. Like, why would they do this? Mm-hmm. And I think it's just tied to the fact that Windows at one time was Microsoft's biggest business. Then it was their second biggest business. And now it's their third biggest business. And now it's kind of buried inside of this division that they don't really break out the numbers too much on, right? And the world has changed. The PC market is smaller. In fact, it's dropped about one third in a volume sense from its peak of several years ago. It's probably going to continue going down, hopefully more slowly than before. Windows 10 has not been deployed to the numbers that Microsoft expected. You remember they scaled back their estimates about the 1 billion thing. And the last time they gave us a number was way back in September when they said 400 million users. And I can assure you someday when and if they do, that the monthly uptick on Windows 10 will be dramatically smaller than it was because it's been trending that way. And of course, you know, now that it's not a free upgrade, it's, you know, that plays into it. So I think that's what it is. I think really what this is Microsoft looking for different ways to monetize Windows. And unfortunately, you know, advertising's is one of them. I will say that there's advertising in other operating systems too, right? I mean, if you go into the store and iOS, there's a recommended link there at the top when you do a search for something, right?
So yeah, they added that in last year. That was a big deal, yeah.
That's tough, you know, coming from Apple, but
you are in a store. The difference is if I saw that in the Finder, in the File Explorer, I might get a little upset.
Yeah, so here's the thing. So imagine, like right now, what they're selling is Office 365 because Office 365 has additional storage for OneDrive, which is something you can add to File Explorer, you know, okay. Okay, but what happens when it becomes Box or Dropbox, right? Now it's a third-party cloud service they're selling you on. What happens when it becomes Candy Crush, right? I mean, like, don't you sort of see it going that way? I don't know. I think when you look at the other businesses that were 1, 2, or 3 at Microsoft, meaning Office and Windows Server, both of them have made a fairly incredible leap to the cloud, right? Windows Server is becoming Azure, essentially. Azure is the new Windows Server, if that makes sense. Office 365 is the obvious future for Office. Windows doesn't really have that same leap to make, right? There's no Windows in the cloud. I know there's a cloud version coming, but there's no Windows. You know, they're not going to sell it as a subscription service, right? Although a lot of us had sort of speculated that they might. How do you monetize this thing? Like, how do you keep it relevant? How do you keep people excited about something that's essentially in a dying product category, you know, or at least a declining one? I think this is just part of that weirdness around trying to figure out some way for this thing to justify its own existence. You know, I told the story in here, but a friend from Microsoft who basically told me, like, if I was running this business, I would just be managing the decline. Like, I don't understand what they're pouring resources into here. It doesn't make any sense. So they are.
You can shut these ads off. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing.
We talked about this last week, but you're turning off the sync provider. It doesn't say ads.
Well, right. That's just the sync provided notification.
But what is that? What else am I going to give up for that? I mean, if it had a button in the control panel that said turn off ads, okay, I'd turn off ads. I'm worried. Does that sync provider do anything else?
Right. So I don't believe so. But the other so
also not this is, obvious, right? It's not.
Yeah. The other thing is,
but wait, that's not even how you turn it off.
Oh,
right?
It's not. Like, oh,
no, that is how you turn it off.
Aren't there ways right now to go into settings and shut off ads? Like
yeah,
when they
no,
show
I was
you...
gonna say yes. So the thing we talked about last week was just for one thing.
Oh.
The problem is there are actually several places in Windows 10 where there are ads. Right. So you have to go into settings to turn those all off. And that's, you know, to Leo's point, you can turn, let's say you can turn them off. You can.
Yeah.
The problem is they're not in one place that's called turn off all the I don't want or whatever. Sorry. Like you have to really know where this stuff is and know what the options are. So I wrote a second tip that's about all the other ones.
There's
I've updated
more than
the book. Oh, there's many.
Do any of them say ads?
No. Well, one does. But consider, here's a goofy example, right? Because this is the way these things kind of tread a line. If you have a Surface device or another device with a pen, one of the weird little places you can see an ad, and you can make a really nice argument for this one, is in the Windows Ink workspace. So you bring up this UI. It gives you links to all the major inbox apps for your pen, right, like the Sketchpad and so forth. And it will give you a list of your recent pen-enabled apps, meaning these are the apps you actually used recently. And then there's this little thing called Suggested. And Suggested it's an ad. It's an ad for an app in the store that you paid. And you click on that, and the store opens, and you get to go look at it. Now, you can make the argument that would be useful for some people. You might be new to the pen. You might not know about this app. Look, I just discovered something new. So that one, it's on the edge. It's more of an annoyance than I would say like a pure ad. It's an ad. I mean, basically, there's something like that in the start menu. There's stuff like that on the lock screen. There's stuff like that in Action Center. You can get pop-up ads in Windows 10. I mean, this stuff is actually all over the place. And this is what I mean. You know, when the first ads appeared in Windows 8.1 in mobile apps as literal like banner type ads, I referred to this as a slippery slope. And that's what I mean. Like it's only escalated. And like I, you know, and again, you know, Microsoft's getting all this attention now for making privacy easy. If enough attention is drawn to this, they'll have another little interface and it will be called literally turn off the ads, you know, and there'll be a bunch of little check boxes. Like here's all the places you can see ads. Or the alternative is, and this is the thing you have to worry about, just like what if that sync notification, sync provided notification turns into an ad for Dropbox or Box? What if they turn off the ability to turn that off, right? I mean, at some point, you have to admit, these guys get pretty aggressive about things. At some point, they might just say, well, we're done hiding the option. We're just going to get rid of it, you know? And that's, I joke with Mary Jo privately the day Paul starts using a Chromebook or something, but probably not. But it's something I'm actually really worried about because I just feel like these guys are kind of treading water with Windows right now. And I really like Windows 10, don't get me wrong. And I use a PC. I mean, this is important to me. But I think they look at it in the context of their other humongous businesses, many of which are growing quite a bit. And I don't know that they're sure how to or what to do with it and how to monetize it. And I think these ads are part of their, you know, figuring that out.
Ads are definitely part of them thinking about how to monetize Windows, for sure. But I got to say, like, just like with Skype, you know how there are ads in Skype? I never even see them. Like, I see them.
Yeah, yeah.
But
sure.
I don't, like, notice them.
You know what? So by the way, I've heard that from many people. People who disagree with me on this topic, that will be what they say. You know, I just ignore the ads. You know, when my wife and I watch TV, when we actually have to watch a live show, I'm confronted by ads that I'm used to skipping over or on a service like Netflix, not seeing at all. And my brain goes into a little coma.
People
like I try
say
to
that about billboards on the highway, but it doesn't make America beautiful, right? So just because you're not seeing them, that just means we've tuned them out. But I feel like something's been taken from us.
Yes. I don't mean to be overly dramatic about this, but.
Gong.
This
there
is
you
what
go. That's how you're going to do it.
This is what people in a totalitarian state say about police with weapons roughing up people who are not like them. I just don't see it, you know. Right. I had a conversation with my sister Lori, who lives in Arizona, and I was saying, you know, I just don't like the gun culture there. And she said, well, I never see that. And like, Lori, you live in Arizona. I'm sorry, but there are people driving around with guns in their trucks. Like, that's part of that's, you know what? That happens.
I think I must just be somebody who is not attuned to seeing stuff. Like, and I know I'm not, because whenever you show me something like in an interface and you're like, wow, what do you think of that? And I'm like, what? I don't see it. You know?
Yep. Yeah. No, I know. So and by the way, I know. No, that's fair. I like I said, I hear that from a lot of people. But I guess the point is, confronted by the fact that this is happening, I mean, regardless of whether an individual sees and or is bothered by it, I hope it's at least understandable why this is objectionable. And that with something like Windows in particular, I feel like it should be better than this. You know, Windows is not free.
I just kind of feel like the beauty of the UI, I'm not being sarcastic, the beauty of the UI is being destroyed by the ads. Is that your point?
Not the beauty. No. It is the usefulness, utility of the UI. Like, in other words, Windows exists so I can get work done. Like many Windows users, I custom tailor this environment so that I'm as productive as I can be and efficient. And these kinds of things are just, they're like these annoying distractions. You know, it's like when I'm working and maybe it's Cortana or maybe it's some little, whatever it is, something little thing comes down the side and I'm in the middle of something and I look down like, what? Why are you bothering me? Like, you're supposed to get out of the way. You know, it's just, it's frustrating.
I'm not saying ads are great in it, but I'm just saying, I think there's so many other things that are bigger problems in Windows than ads that I would put this at the bottom of the list. Just so a different perspective.
Just if I could reword it, you love ads is what you just said.
No, I don't care. I just don't see them.
Well, but that, by the way, means that they're not worth anything. So in order to get you to see them, guess what they do next?
I know. Pop-ups drive me nuts. Yes.
So that's what's going to happen is if ads don't work, then they make them more aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my fear. I mean, that's the thing. In other words, there's no version of this where they say, you know, Mary Jo and all these other people don't see the ads. I think we should just stop doing
it. As soon as they put ads in Notepad, I guarantee you Mary Jo will see them.
Yeah. That would be awesome because they'd be like text ads.
Blinking. And courier. It'll be wonderful.
No, I'm just, I understand that some people are affronted by ads in the operating system, and I just feel like I understand your point, and I think it's a valid point, and if it makes you distracted and less productive, that's a point. For me, it's just like this little bug annoying me on the side of the screen, and I just like,
do you go to the movies? Do you see ads in movies?
Me, I don't go to the movies.
Yeah. See, that really bugs me because you spend $13 for a movie. I mean, you go to the movies and spend $13 and they've got Coke ads and they've got ads for cars. They've got like literally 10 minutes of ads, you know, where Coming Attractions used to be. Or now, then they actually do the Coming Attractions, which are ads for other movies.
Yeah.
Sure. So I know
my
people,
feeling
I don't
is if you're paying
lot,
for something, but there shouldn't be ads in it. You know, you paid already. You paid once.
Newspapers have ads all over them. You know,
that's true. Yeah. No, that's a good point.
I'm not trying to. I agree with you, Leo. I think when you have to pick a model and go with it. I mean,
Microsoft doesn't make any money in the current ads. They're all for Microsoft products.
Exactly.
They're house ads, right?
I don't think they even think of them as ads. I think they think of them as a way to get you to do things that you might not know about. You know, did you know there's pen?
You
mentioned Skype, for example. So you install an application, right? Web browsers. Some web browsers did do this. I'm not sure if they still do this, but there was a part in setup where they, unless you went into the advanced settings, it would actually try to make itself your default browser. That may not be what you wanted. Now in Windows 10, that's no longer a concern. But there's all these little things you can do in setup, and you can change people's settings because the person agreed to something and they didn't really realize it. Skype has a thing right up front and setup where it makes Bing your preferred search program and Edge your default browser or whatever. Mm. You know what? I get that like third rate individual developers who make their apps can do that kind of thing. Microsoft needs to have more class than that. And I, when Microsoft is the one doing this stuff, it makes it all of it worse. You know, like Windows should be clean. It should be the example. You're making the entire platform second rate when you do this. The way I said it up front in 2012 is you are cheapening Windows with ads.
I personally like it because it makes me want to use Linux more.
Well, by the way, I mean, but you know, I'm sure you know that, like, there's even some little weird ad-like things in some versions of
Linux. I stopped
Linux,
using
like
Ubuntu for that reason. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's because Ubuntu is a company and they, you know, they do things a certain way, whatever. Right. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, and at some point, I guess we become these esoteric tech monks and, you know, we use VI or Emacs and some pure version of Linux.
We're just trying to keep the world from looking like Blade Runner, you know, where there's ads on every surface.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think that's where we're headed, frankly. No matter
I do what. Too. The image I used for the most recent one was Times Square. The image I used for the original article from last fall was the Minority Report advertising stuff, where it's personalized, which I think is very relevant to the way today is.
I don't want ads. We're ad supported, but right. I think, you know, my ethos is that the ad is front and center, and it's an introduction to a product you might like, and it's what supports the product. If I charge for the podcast,
Your podcast is free. I was going to say that's the thing.
That's your podcast is free. And
I had someone
even
complain
then
to me
we
that,
limit it to no more than one per half hour, and we very carefully handpick the advertisers. We really try to make it a better experience because we know people don't like ads.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I have ads on my website. You know, as someone pointed out to me, that I am no better than Microsoft. Right?
Yeah. That's why I asked right up front: is Windows free now?
No, it's not. It's not free. Even if you don't believe that you're paying for it, you are. Surprise. You know, you bought a computer. You paid for Windows. You know, Microsoft didn't have their arm twisted into a lifetime with air quotes around it of free upgrades to Windows 10. They're doing that for marketing reasons, because the PC industry is falling apart. I mean, they're trying to convince people to stay with this platform. If they said, we're going to do this, but the other thing we're going to do, by the way, is throw ads in it, That would change the perception of this thing, I think, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
If they said you could pay $20 more for Windows up front, not have ads ever,
Well, it's also ironic from the company that brought you Gmail, man, right? I mean.
See, that hurts because it's right. And
you hit him right in the.
Mary Jo, that's better than a gong. You just stab
it. That is better than a gong.
Actually, you grab that mallet and you just do an underhanded swing and right. Yep. And then you're gone. Then you hit the gun. And then you walk out of the room. Yeah, you're right. Yep. It's hard. I just want Microsoft and this product to be better.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be cheap and less.
I think a judicious use of, I mean, Microsoft also is the company that pushes the signature PC, which is essentially an ad-free experience of Windows, right? We're going to get rid of all the trialware. That's just ads.
So by the way, interesting you bring that up, because Signature PC and Surface are both hobbled by the fact that they cannot change the image of Windows 10 that comes on those machines. And so now those computers are all hobbled by crapware because Microsoft puts crapware in Windows, which, by the way, is another kind of ad in a way. They put junky apps in Windows 10. It's unbelievable. Like I think this is all a set of experiments designed to see how we can make this thing make financial sense. Yep.
Dr. Mom reminds us the Kindle, you have two models. You can buy a cheaper Kindle. Yeah. And it's not much cheaper, by the way, which tells you how little the ads are worth. $10 off or whatever. And you'll have ads or pay more for an ad-free experience.
So, by the way, the difference there is you know what you're getting up front.
Yeah, yeah. I prefer it that way. You know, give me the ad-free and I'll pay more. Or if I want to save money, I'll say Windows with ads. You know, I think
what if that's the next step? What if it's just like what they're doing with Outlook Premium, Outlook.com Premium, right? And they'll be like, okay, people like Paul and you guys, you want to shut ads off? Give us $20.
And then they're going to say that we're going to edition and it costs more. And if you don't like it, here's his email address. He's the one who thought of
this. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Paul at therot.com.
We also have all of his private data because we collect it with telemetry. So if you want to reach him at home. Yep.
You know, and of course, as Microsoft expands its universe, those ads could expand to other Microsoft house ads like LinkedIn, right? Reid Hoffman?
Yep.
He's now on the board.
Yeah, it's, Reid Hoffman on Microsoft's board, guys. Yeah. So Reid Hoffman, for anyone who does not know who he is, co-founder of LinkedIn, also a founder of PayPal, one of the PayPal mafia, right? as they call that group. And so it's a pretty big deal for Microsoft to get him on their board, given Microsoft's desire to get more in with Silicon Valley and the talent pool there and the user base there. I saw somebody, I think it was Back Channel, wrote a story yesterday saying, this is why Microsoft bought LinkedIn for $26 billion to get Reid on the board. I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on now. I don't know if
I'm sure they could have given him $2 billion.
I think Reid would have done it for a little less. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
he's,
you know,
he's widely agreed to be a genius, though, right?
He is.
Yeah.
People say he's the guy.
He's
right?
the real deal.
Yeah, he's the real deal. So now Microsoft has 12 people on its board. He's one of them.
That's very big. And you know, isn't that a big board?
12? I don't know how it compares to other boards, actually, in size. I'm not sure. But
they have to get one of those giant Subway sandwiches to feed them all.
Well, you know, that is Jeff Bezos' meeting rule. If you can't feed the meeting with two pizzas, don't have it.
That's good.
Not a bad rule.
So I don't know. Well, let me see how big Apple's board is. My sense is it's
the
7
star
or 8.
Chamber, as they call it.
Yeah. The star chamber. let's see.
It does seem like a big board, yeah.
Apple has 8 people on its board.
8.
Right. Mm.
12 seems like a lot. Because remember, the board gives, they're fairly important to governance, right? Now, Satya Nadella is on the board.
He is.
Ballmer no longer
is. Gates.
But Gates is.
Bill Gates is, yep. And the other people who are on the board, they've got ValueAx, Mason Morfit, you know, who was
forced their way in.
Pretty instrumental in some of the changes that happened at Microsoft indirectly.
Like advertising in Windows? Was that him?
It might have been him. No.
You know, it could be.
Yeah. But, you know, the reason I put in our show notes Reid Hoffman in this segment was when you look at the priority list for what Microsoft and LinkedIn said they're going to do first in terms of integrating the two companies, one of those bullet points is extending the reach of sponsored content across Microsoft products.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Here it comes, LinkedIn ads and LinkedIn notifications and lynda.com ads and all that kind of stuff. So I think
what
we're going to see more.
What version of Linux do you use, Leo?
I highly recommend the community distro of Arch or Debian, neither of which has ads or, as far as I can figure out, would ever have ads. So
kind of safe give there. A Linux podcast of some kind.
Yeah, we should do one, shouldn't we? You and me, Paul.
Beginner's Welcome. Guide to Linux.
We'll call it the Bash Show.
The Linux Field Guide.
Bashagong.
Bashagong. I'll just be in the back ringing the gong. That'll be my job.
Enough. Enough. Hadoop, hadoop, hadoop. All right, let's take a break, and then we still have teams to talk about. Xbox, and of course, the back of the book, which means beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's beer and more. Beer Plus. Yep. You're watching Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com. And I saw somebody had registered thurrogoodgood.com. Are you going to make that be your... No. Okay, so let's... Scary. He's a scary man. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. I love this. Interest rates are going up. Now, the Fed went up today, right? So, quick, get that refi or get that mortgage now while home loan rates are still low. And the best way to do it, you know, if you go, you know, to the traditional lender, it could take weeks Ours took more than a month the last time we bought a house. Rocket Mortgage, minutes, because it's all online. And it comes from the best mortgage lender in the country, Quicken Loans. Go to quickenloans.com/windows. Take a look at Rocket Mortgage. It's the entirely online mortgage approval process. You could submit everything, including pay stubs, bank statements, with a touch of a finger. I mean, you can do this on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer. You could actually do it at an open house. And you can, you know, choose the rate. You could choose the term. They got sliders. You can configure it exactly as you want it and get approved in minutes for a loan that's tailored to your personal financial situation. Whether you're looking to buy a house or refi your existing mortgage, now's the time to lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. Skip the bank. Skip the waiting. Go completely online. quickenloans.com/windows. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Go to quickenloans.com/windows. The hosts of Windows Weekly have returned to the podium. And now we begin talking about teams. I'm thinking this is a Mary Jo Foley piece.
It
here.
Is.
Yes.
So yesterday, Microsoft launched globally, not just in the U.S., as many products from Microsoft happen to launch. It's a product called Microsoft Teams. This is what they have as an alternative to Slack, if you know Slack. It's been in a public beta test since November, and now it's available in 181 markets. And if you are a subscriber to one of the Office 365 business plans, you will automatically get Teams. You don't have to do anything. It'll be turned on by default. So you can turn it off if you want, but it'll be there. There's going to be no way to buy it otherwise. So if you do want Teams and you don't have an Office 365 business plan, you are out of luck. You have to buy Office 365. But there are 85 million plus Office 365 business customers out there who will get this as a free addition to their current service. That's how they're going to go head-to-head with Slack. They're going to try to use their existing Office 365 business base and say to them, hey, you don't need Slack. You get this for free already. Here it is. The questions I got most this week about the launch were, number one, is there guest access for Teams?
Oh,
the answer is not yet. Wow. And coming as of end of June is the official word. So if you have a team, you want to make a team and you want to have somebody outside of your company be able to be part of the team, you can't do that yet. That's a feature still to come. The other question is, when will education customers get it? So if you're Office 365 academic or an Office 365 government customer, are you going to get this as well? The answer in both cases is yes, but we don't know when. I talked to a couple people with Office 365 education accounts yesterday who said they saw it show up in their client, like they could see Teams, but they can't access it yet. And Microsoft's not giving us a date when those two plans will get it, but they are going to get it. So the good thing about Teams, and I'd say a strength of it, is if you have Office 365, all those services you already have and products like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, Planner, Outlook, all these things are going to be integrated into Teams. So if you want to do something like email a channel, you can do that because it'll be built right in. So that's kind of Microsoft capitalizing on its strengths there. What else? You get like all the basic features. Oh, the other one you get that I was a little bit surprised about is they've got an Office 365 video service that they're still in preview with called Stream, and that's going to be integrated as well. So, yeah, it's an interesting offering. I think even Paul Thurrott liked it, which is like, hey, Mikey, he liked it.
Yeah, the point of that is last year there was a lot of talk around Microsoft buying Slack, and you might remember the asking price, you know, supposed price, I think it was like
$8 billion.
So I kind of argued at the time that they should just do this, right? Get rid of the competitor, pick up this kind of trendy, hip, you know, Silicon Valley type mobile app / cloud company, and you know, get the brand. And I thought that made plenty of sense. But when you look at how they did Teams, by making it a perk of Office 365 and really deeply integrating it with the entire productivity stack. And it's not just like another way to collaborate, even though it's sort of presented like that. Like they already have, you know, SharePoint, they've got Yammer, they have Office, Outlook / Exchange, they have other things. But this thing actually works with all of that under the covers. And so the interesting thing about this to me is if there are, you know, millennials or anyone else who kind of likes this kind of chat-based collaboration thing, it's there and it works. But what they maybe don't realize is under the covers is it's doing this other stuff. It's setting up SharePoint team sites and so forth. And so if there are people who in the company or in the teams who want to work in more traditional ways through Outlook or through or whatever, they can do that. And I to me, that's like right. You know, it's that hybrid thing that Microsoft does so well that no one else can do. And it really just kind of opens up the choice, you know, for this kind of collaboration. So it's a long-winded way of saying I was wrong.
One interesting thing I found out about Teams, I was telling Paul this earlier in the week, the person who's the head of Microsoft Teams, who's the corporate VP of Teams, is Brian McDonald. Brian McDonald has been at Microsoft forever, and he is the guy, if you remember way back, NetDocs, when Microsoft was building an online productivity service that was going to compete with Office inside the company.
This is like 10 plus years ago. This is like long.
He was that guy. That was him.
Yeah.
And he, I interviewed him this week about Teams. And one of the interesting things he mentioned was, you know, Slack's idea with Slack is eliminate email, like that this new team collaboration kind of thing would replace email. Microsoft's trying to say, you can still do email if you want. You can do email within Teams. You can just do email and no Teams. You can use Office 365 groups, you know, however.
You work the way you want to work. I think that's why this is so smart. Not everyone is okay with this kind of interoperability. I mean,
I think
you give people choice. They can collaborate the way they want to collaborate.
Yeah. The only downside I can see, and I have not been using Teams myself because I'm an office of one. I don't have anybody to be on my team. the number of choices you have from Microsoft right now as to how you do team collaboration is a little overwhelming, I would say. Maybe a lot overwhelming. You got Yammer, you got Office 365 groups, you got SharePoint, you've got Outlook, you've got Teams. It's just like, okay, wow, there's a lot of things here. What do I use for what? And I think they've got a little too much going on there, but otherwise choice is good.
I agree.
Yeah. So that's it. Teams. Teams is here.
I mean, I'm tempted to use it. And that really is the problem is you don't want to move your company off of whatever is working. But if it's free, it's right there.
I know.
Maybe. But I think you're going to have a way to add guests because one of the things people do with Slack and other teams is they put clients in the room. You know, there's things that you need to be able to do that they're not doing yet. So.
Yep.
But they'll get we use HipChat from Atlassian for that. And I could, you know, everybody here uses the cloud. So Microsoft cloud services.
Yep. Yeah.
I could see how a business might go that way. All right. And there is an education and government plan. You mentioned that.
Coming.
Xbox, Paul Thurrott.
I'll do this one quickly.
Why are you worried? Why are you worried, Paul?
What are you worried about?
I'm not worried. But people are worried. You know, one of the things I saw an editorial, I think, on Forbes or somewhere, that they were saying, you know, Microsoft, by being last with Scorpio, meaning last to 4K, is, you know, it's a mistake. And they listed a variety of reasons and yada, yada, yada. One of the reasons is really curious to me that there's still some less vocal group of Xbox fans who were let down by the launch. Remember when they had that kind of scattered marketing message? Guys, that was like 4 years ago.
Yeah,
are you kidding?
Right.
Are we still talking about that?
Yeah, it's been a while.
I really believe that Microsoft's strategy for Xbox today, like, you know, as of last year and this year, whatever, makes plenty of sense. I can't really speak to the issue with, you know, exclusives, which is one of those things people talk about Sony kind of owning Microsoft on. But look, if they can pull off true 4K gaming, which is the plan with Scorpio, I'm sorry, but that sounds awesome to me because that's not what the PS4 Pro does. And being first with something that's lesser is not always best. Now, I mean, I think Sony has enough of a lead. I don't see that going anywhere. And I think inertia is the real player here, that these things are, have kind of settled into how they're going to be. But I think that a 4K console, if it's real, gives this generation staying power. And I think it will be fine. So I just wanted to quickly.
It's going to be a long war.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yes. Several years long. So
yep.
Get a ways to
winning the first battle is not.
Yeah.
Totally, you know, decisive.
Well, I'm not even sure I'd say, like, with 4K that Sony has won the battle. It's just that they came to market with something, where, you know, and they put 4K in the marketing. But it's really just, you know, it's a little bit of a bump, but it's not really true 4K gaming. And I think that's the central problem.
Right.
The other thing with regards to the PlayStation is that Microsoft 2 weeks ago announced something called the Xbox Game Pass, which to me sounded pretty great. It's somewhat comparable to the PlayStation Now service in that it's a subscription service. The Microsoft one is less expensive. It doesn't have as many games, but it does have current generation games, which is something that Sony hasn't offered until now, of course, because now that Microsoft has announced this thing, Sony announced that PlayStation Now will in fact include PlayStation 4 games in addition to PlayStation 3 games, which is what the service currently offers. It's not happening anytime soon. They're kind of doing a limited testing. I'm sure it will happen in time for the holidays this year. And we don't know what games will be offered, but they're closing in on 500 titles, which is amazing. It's $20 a month. It's expensive. But if you play a lot of video games, you know, you think about the cost of a video game is about $60 typically for a AAA title. You know, you can do the math. I mean, for the cost of, I guess that would be, I don't want to do the math. I can't do the math.
Don't do the math.
Four games? I don't know. I'm so terrible at math. Yes. For just the cost of four games, you get access to over 500 games soon, right? Including like current blockbusters potentially. On the Microsoft service, it's less expensive. It's only the cost of two games, but you get access to 100 games across Xbox One and Xbox 360. So I think Sony might have just taken away the one major advantage that Xbox Game Pass had, not the price, but the availability of current generation games. And so we'll have to see what it looks like, right? They just announced it. It's not available yet. But, you know, we had this brief shining moment where it's like, oh, look at Microsoft doing the right thing. Oh, look at Sony also doing the right thing. Oh, well. So I guess inevitable.
Sony, you want to talk about, you don't want to talk about this. Let's not talk about PS4 now. Who cares?
Okay.
You don't want to talk about that.
Nope, we're done.
You don't want to. I can tell. You're not in the least bit interested. All right,
let's get
gong. Xbox.
Gong. The ultimate gong has happened. Before we get to the back of the book, Paul's tips, Mary Jo's Enterprise pick, of course, beer. Let's mention quickly Blue Apron. Somebody came by from the San Francisco branch of the Cordon Bleu and dropped me off some little blue things. One of the things I wanted they didn't bring is a blue apron. That's what the apprentice chefs wear at the Cordon Bleu Cooking School in Paris, France. A little blue apron. That signifies that you are on the path to enlightenment. Cooking a great meal for yourself or your family is love. It's love. It's the best feeling. The house fills with a beautiful aromatic smells and people, their mouths start watering. They get excited. They sit down. Your family's with you, your friends, your loved ones, and you're cooking. It's a great thing to do. And I know you want to do it, but I know it's also intimidating. It's hard, especially at the end of the day when you're really tired and the last thing you want to do is plan and shop for a meal. That's why I love it when I get home once a week now, and I have my Blue Apron box on the doorstep. Delicious meals, all the ingredients you need, ready to cook. Food is better when you cook from scratch. And by the way, you're getting a great skill, a skill you'll be able to use forever, because once you've cooked a meal with Blue Apron, you know how to cook that meal. We did some udon noodles the other day. They were so good. Take a look at what's on the menu this week. By the way, there's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them, all right? And you can customize your recipes every week based on your dietary preferences. They have a plan for couples or individuals who, you know, you could have dinner and lunch. They have family plans as well with kid-friendly ingredients for families of four. Take a look. And we found, by the way, we get the couple plan, But even though there's three of us, and including a teenager, I can always get three meals out of it. It really is easy. How about katsu-style catfish with black garlic mayonnaise and jasmine rice? That's a lovely Japanese-inspired dish. Or let's go to Italy and have chicken meatballs and fragola sarda with kale and Sicilian tomato sauce. And see, once you've cooked that sauce, now you know how to make it. Oh, look at this one. Top Chef spiced rubbed pork with sweet red onion and black beans. Yes, Mary Jo, they have, of course, vegetarian meals as well. So you can, how about some green garlic pesto pasta? Ooh, with butter, lettuce, salad, and creamy lemon dressing. Thing is, once you've made this, you're going to be able to make it again. And by the way, the ingredients, the best quality, the stuff you would buy. Seafood is sourced sustainably. The beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. The produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. It's all good stuff. You might think, as I did when you look at this, oh, that's going to cost me more than shopping myself. No, it doesn't. It's grocery stores 60% more expensive because they have brick and mortar, they have clerks, they have all that stuff that costs them money. Blue Apron delivers just what you need to make that meal of the day. No more, no less. So you don't have extra, stuff that you don't want. It's very affordable. They deliver to 99% of the continental United States. And their freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they'll make it right. That means everything's fresh. Even the meats and fish are fresh, not frozen. Nicely refrigerated in the box. Check out this week's menu and get three meals free with your purchase and free shipping if you go to blueapron.com/windows. blueapron.com/windows. Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission, to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Yes, even you. blueapron.com/windows. I get hungry. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. I'm hungry for a tip, Paul Thurrott.
So
Is it a tri-tip?
What's that?
Is it a tri-tip? No.
A tri-tip?
Get it? Tri-tip steak? Get it?
I know what that is.
Yeah. And she's a vegetarian, Paul.
I wish it was.
Pick it up.
I am confused. Now, I write this occasional series of articles called iPhone for the Windows guy and Android for the Windows guy. Personally, I use an iPhone because I find it to be cleaner and more consistent and more reliable, and that it performs better and the things just work and all that kind of stuff. But I also sort of understand that Android is kind of the go-to platform for people who are on Windows on PCs, and that a lot of Microsoft guys are looking to Android. So I'm going to try to actually use Android full time. Pray for me. But I, as part of this, I was looking at Android and looking at what Microsoft offers, and how could you kind of what I call Redmondize an iPhone? And aside from all the apps that are obvious that you download, Word and Excel and Outlook and all that kind of stuff, Microsoft actually offers some very interesting experiences on Android that are rather unique. So I've talked about the Arrow launcher, which by the way was just updated today, as a replacement for the Google launcher, which is basically the home screen, and also that Google Now screen and the all apps screen and all that kind of stuff is kind of a really cool thing. You can actually replace Google Assistant on Android with Cortana, assuming you live in the United States, which is actually kind of amazing, meaning you can press that center home button on the Android handset, and instead of Google coming up, Cortana comes up. The only thing that doesn't work, assuming you can even get Cortana, is hey Cortana, you have to be in the app to use voice assistance. You can replace Google's virtual keyboard with SwiftKey, which is owned by Microsoft. I actually do that on the iPhone as well. I really like SwiftKey. It's free themes and kind of like a swipe to type flow functionality that's a lot like other such solutions. And then a couple of other things that maybe are not completely obvious. I mean, obviously you can get the OneDrive app on Android, but you can and should also be backing up your photos to OneDrive from your Android phone, like you did on Windows Phone or like you can do on the iPhone. And that's true even if you're using a different service as well. There's no reason you can't configure two. And I think with stuff like pictures, you might want to do services. And the other one is to be sure to look through the widget screen. When you're long pressed on a blank part of the Android home screen, one of the things you can configure are these widgets. That provide live information from apps. A lot of Microsoft apps have some pretty cool widgets. Some of them are just little simple shortcuts, like they're icon-sized ways to do things very quickly. For example, you could start using Hey Cortana with the microphone button instead of having to talk to it, which could be handy. You could like create a new note in OneNote. But some of them are these big Windows Phone Live Tiles type experiences. So just be sure to kind of go through that. So anyway, I've got a whole article about this. I'm not going to beat it to death, but I'll be writing more and suffering alongside all of you using Android.
Come on. Which I'm giving you the gong on that. Gong.
Which phone are you going to get? Mary Jo is now an Android fan.
I am.
Oh, and I already have. I've always had an Android phone.
So okay.
I'm using the Google Pixel phone.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I just don't use it. Yeah, full time. And then for the app pick, I have a few. Because actually, I could have had more. There's a lot of stuff going on. Alongside the Visual Studio launch last week, Microsoft also launched something called Visual Studio Preview. And so if you're really tired of working on production software after just 1 week of Visual Studio 2017, you can get a pre-release version of it. You can test new features before they come out, which may or may not be interesting to you. But the big reason to get this is, if I'm not mistaken, the final version of Visual Studio 2017 shipped without Python support because it just wasn't ready. Well, if you get the Visual Studio Preview, you can install a Python workload and get all that Python functionality. Nice. You can test it. You can give feedback to Microsoft, all that kind of stuff. So
good.
That is available. That's cool. I mentioned earlier that Arrow Launcher was updated today, which it was. Version 3.1 is now available. A bunch of stuff going on there. But the big one is support for tablets for the first time. So if you have an Android tablet and you want to use the Microsoft Launcher on there, you can. And then this past week, Microsoft reminded me that they make something called the Skype extension for Chrome, which I had completely forgotten about. I am in the process of trying to minimize my interruptions from Skype, but actually this one looks interesting. If you want Skype integration in your browser, what it will do is integrate with popular online services, including services for email, calendars, and Twitter. And now Twitter's pretty obvious, obviously, but for email, it works with Microsoft services like Outlook.com and Outlook on the web, but it also works with Google email, as does Google Calendar. And so it actually changes the UI of those services in the web page to include Skype functionality. So if you want to, say you're sending an email and you want to add a link to join a Skype meeting, all you have to do is press the Skype button, which is suddenly now in the UI, and it actually pastes into the email message all the information that person needs to join a call. Like it creates one for you, like on the fly. That's actually pretty cool. Like I am not going to use this, but I did install it to test it, and it's actually kind of amazing. Like if you were to make a new event, like a meeting or whatever, in Google Calendar, one of the options that's in there is to create like a Google Hangouts, kind of a live meeting kind of a link. With this installed, you can also create a Skype video call inside of a meeting. So in other words, or an event. So you could invite a bunch of people to a meeting and they could all get the same link to the same call. And so when it's time for the meeting, everyone clicks on a link and it happens in Skype automatically. That's actually really cool. I'm not going to use it, but you might want to.
Here's an endorsement.
I recognize the utility. That's all I'm saying. anyway, that's available for now. It's free. You get it in the Chrome web store like you do any other Chrome app or add-on or whatever we're calling them these days. That's about it. Although, you know, Microsoft Teams is out. That's huge. And what was the other thing? It was somewhere else in the notes. There was another app release that was kind of a big deal this week. I don't know. There was something else.
Windows 10 RC. Creators update.
Yeah, it's it, right. It actually does seem like they've reached an acceptable level of quality. I say ship it.
There's only 63,000 bugs.
Yeah, it's way better than what was that version of Windows? Windows 2000 or something?
NT.
Yep.
Thanks for the picks. Oh, it's 2000. Oh, okay. Yeah. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mary Jo Foley, Enterprise Pick Time.
So I haven't talked much about this, but I've been using it quite a bit. It's the new Microsoft Tech Community, and the URL is techcommunity.microsoft.com. This, I think, is what used to be Yammer Groups. that are run by different Microsoft experts inside and outside the company. And this week I noticed they've published all the sessions from the Microsoft Tech Summits that they've been holding all over the world right to the site. So there's different pages. There's like, here's all the Windows sessions we had at Tech Summit. Here's all the Office ones. Here's all the Azure ones, the SQL Server ones. There is so much content in each of these. There's like, in the Windows one, there's about 20 or 25 sessions that run for anywhere from like a half hour to an hour on all kinds of topics, like how to get updates to remote desktop services in Windows Server 2016, how to use modern BI in the enterprise, how to use Project Centennial to develop apps. There's all kinds of content. It's free. You can watch it at your leisure, and it's all on this Microsoft Tech Community site. So I just wanted to bring it to people's attention in case you don't know about it, that there's a lot of good stuff here.
Cool.
Check it out.
Cool, cool, cool. Codename, let's all go to...
Barcelona. Let's go. Barcelona has been a codename pick here before. And what Barcelona is the feature that's ultimately going to be called Windows Defender Application Guard for Microsoft Edge. So if you remember what that is, it's a container-based isolation capability in the browser. And Barcelona, I believe, had been part of some of the insider builds for a while. And I heard from one of my contacts that they took it out in the last couple builds. When I asked Microsoft about it very early this year, I asked, would Barcelona actually make it into the creators update? And they said, you know what, we're going to decide based on feedback that we get from the insider program. So it sounds officially like Barcelona is out. It's not going to be part of Creators Update, but likely will be part of Redstone 3, which will be this fall. So if you're wondering what happened to that, that's where Barcelona is at this point.
Good to know. And finally, St. Patrick's Day is just around the corner.
It is. Day after tomorrow.
Do you do anything for St. Patrick's Day, or do you stay home?
call it.
I try not to go out on St. Patrick's Day here because it's kind of a crazy day.
It's amateur hour, as Mary Jo calls it.
Amateur hour.
I do call it that, actually.
You and definitely don't want green beer. Nobody wants green beer.
Don't go to an Irish pub in New York on St. Patrick's Day, or Boston either.
Right, right.
Sure.
But if you're trying to look for something fun to drink at home or in a bar, if you do go to one, you know what? Why drink Guinness? That's a traditional thing to drink on St. Patrick's Day. Why not drink a craft beer that's an Irish stout actually brewed in Ireland? Oh. There are such things. And probably the best known is called O'Hara's Irish Stout from Carlow Brewing in Ireland. And I've had it. It's very good. It's won all kinds of awards. You know, it's an Irish stout. It's just like all good, like a little licorice-y, a little roasty, very low in alcohol, like 4%+. So you could drink more than one and still be okay. So if you're looking for a St. Patrick's drink that isn't just another Guinness, you might want to try something like O'Hara's Irish Stout.
I was very disappointed because Avery didn't have any Calipigian.
Oh, yeah. What did you drink at Avery? I forgot to ask.
Well, they had so many good stuff.
Oh, you went. Did you go to Avery?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I tweeted you with a picture for it.
Oh, I didn't see it. I'm so sorry.
I liked it so much, I went twice.
Oh, you did?
Well, nice. I, like I said, this is the mecca, you know.
It was great. It's a really great brew pub.
Yep.
And I'm
glad you went.
The food was fantastic. I had brisket one day, and then I had something they call meat the next day. That was good.
The food is better than it needs to be.
It was very good, yeah, because the beer is excellent. The beer is I had a coffee stout with the Ozo coffee beans. It was quite good. Mm-hmm. Of course, I had their Belgian. I can't remember the name now, but it was a special, so I had, you know, that was the... But then they were doing something really interesting with ancient beers that I found fascinating. They had a Peruvian.
Are these like spice beers kind of? Or
well, no, they're more like
old recipes.
They're old recipes. Apparently a professor at CU did research into how they made beer in these ancient civilizations, the Incas and the Egyptians. And the brewmaster there took the recipes and made them. So the Peruvian, the Incan beer, had was made of corn and quinoa. No hops. They didn't have hops. And they didn't have yeast to add. So it's naturally yeasted, you know, from the air.
Yeah.
And it was like almost like a lemonade. It was very, or a saison or a sour. It was very light. And then so was the Egyptian, which was made from Kemet and a couple of old wheats. And I don't think there were any hops in that either, also naturally yeasted. So it was different. You probably wouldn't say, I can't wait to drink more of that. But
it sounds fun, though.
But it was really fun. It was really interesting. We did a number of flights. Great. You're right. Nice recommendation. Thank you. Really
That's great.
Fun
I'm glad. I'm glad.
This is in Boulder, just outside of Boulder. It's actually in the... They told me it's in Gunpowder. It's the name of it.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, it used to be in the industrial district right in Boulder.
Right.
And it was the smallest place. I mean, the place was no bigger than the first floor of my house. It was tiny. And then they moved into the Death Star.
Yeah, they built a new, it's a beautiful brewery.
Yeah.
A new brewery.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I tweeted you. I thought you might see that. But I tweeted Mary Jo, and she said, don't forget the Calipigian, but it didn't have any.
That's great.
I asked. I didn't. She thought I was talking about her, but I just says, no, the beer.
I knew what you meant.
not gunpowder, gun barrel. Thank you, Web 7917. Gun barrel.
Not gun stock, which is also a poison.
No.
Gun barrel.
Oh, wait.
Colorado.
This just in, guys.
Uh-oh.
Barcelona is still in Edge in the latest build. That's interesting. So I wonder if it will make it into creators. I bet no. I still say no. It's going to be Redstone 3. Sorry. Got distracted.
No, Barcelona.
I don't have it up anymore. No, I just saw an article about all the stuff that was cut or is being cut from Redstone 2, but I don't see what
it was. It nothing big, though. I saw that, too.
No, okay. No, leave something to rant about next week.
As long as I have four or five places where I can just kind of...
I have found out, I have discovered that if you go to thurogoodgood.com, it redirects to you, Paul.
What happens?
It goes to you. It's your site.
Wait, but what?
You know, I always call it thurogoodgood.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that works.
Of course it does.
Somebody
because
registered
the internet.
It. Somebody registered
that's great.
It.
That's,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, that's better than going to a porn site. Which the other opportunity.
But that's where Paul Thurrott lives, thurrott.com. He also has his books at leanpub.com. Mary Jo Foley's at allaboutmicrosoft.com. And part of the new IT Unity community at petri.com, where she leads the ITs.
She magnates
them all. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Can't believe it, but the time has come to say goodbye to all our family. So thank you so much for being here. We'll be back next Wednesday, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern. We're on summertime now. Probably took some of you off guard if you're trying to watch live. That means we'll be at 2030 UTC for the rest of the winter. If you want to join us to watch live, join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. You also can get on-demand audio and video after the fact at all our favorite podcatching sites and apps, so please pick one, subscribe, and don't miss a minute. Windows Weekly. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.